All right, could you just start by saying your name and the title of the play?
My name is Samayeni 24, and the title of the play is Monumental Travesties.
Yes, and it's going to be, it's by Mosaic Theater, and where is it? Is it at Atlas, or where are you performing
it? It's produced at Mosaic Theater Company, and we are in residence at the Atlas Performing Arts Center on 8th Street in Northeast Washington, D.C.
Sounds great, and I wanted to talk to you here at the actual Emancipation Memorial. So, talk about, just give me the basic premise of the play and why, of course, we're here filming at this statue.
Sure. So the premise of the play is a black performance artist named Chance cuts the head of Abraham Lincoln off this statue that I'm standing in front of. The statue depicts Abraham Lincoln standing over top of a kneeling black man in a loincloth. It's supposed to be a statue that commemorates Lincoln and the Emancipation Proclamation, but it's controversial and problematic for many reasons. But Chance, a performance artist, beheads Lincoln, and he runs to his home. He throws the head in his next door neighbor Adam's front yard and goes home to his wife, and the play is launched from that point.
Awesome. Now, you said it was controversial for a couple reasons, so explain why that is, maybe for some folks that, you know, maybe are not familiar with that.
Sure. So, well, it's really about the representation of the black man in the statue and the subservient pose and position that he's in. The monument is really about celebrating freedom. That was the intent behind it, but I think the people who commissioned it, and frankly the artist, I think the artist got it wrong, because that is not, to me, in my eyes, what this monument is communicating. It's communicating something quite different. It's communicating a black man who is in a denigrated position. It doesn't really show him in a way that celebrates his agency, but it shows him in a sort of a way that is paternalistic in terms of his relationship to Lincoln. Lincoln is seen as this paternalistic figure that sort of is bestowing freedom from on high. And that's not the type of representation of a black person that I think we need to see in public.
So if you were to turn slightly and look up at the statue while we talk real quick, would you, I see exactly what you're saying, and while it's meant to celebrate emancipation and maybe, which we would all agree is a positive in history,
absolutely,
but the way that it is showing it, maybe the freed slave should be standing equal to him, or I don't know, how would you fix it?
Absolutely, and the freed man should absolutely be standing up. I think he should be wearing clothes. Frederick Douglass, he spoke at the unveiling of the monument, and he was critical of it, and he was actually critical of Abraham Lincoln also, but he also praised Lincoln for his good qualities, but he was also truthful in sort of his assessment of Lincoln and his legacy. But Douglass said what he would love to see before he dies is a statue of the black man standing up on his feet like a man, and not couching on his knees like a four-footed animal. So he pretty much distilled exactly how I feel about the monument back in, you know, 1876, which is when this monument was erected.
That's a lot of the controversy behind it just in general, but let's dive a little more into the play itself.
Sure.
So where do you get the idea? Is it like a Bart Simpson statue? Is it a I think he loses the head in that too, right? I don't know. Where do you get the you're walking by here during drinking coffee one day or what?
So I honestly don't remember the exact day or moment that when I first saw the statue. But I've been troubled by it ever since I saw it. It was I saw it sometime in the mid-90s, back when I was a student at Howard, and it just seemed so obviously anachronistic and outdated to me. I was just shocked that something like this existed, you know, right here in Washington, D.C.
Do you remember when it was built?
1876 is when they erected it and unveiled it, but there used to be a replica of this exact monument in Boston. And in 2020, after the Great Justice Movement that was sparked in the wake of George Floyd's killing, the city of Boston removed that monument. They took it down, an exact replica. So my question is, why is it still up here in Washington, D.C.? I mean, I have a couple of ideas. I mean, this is the town where Lincoln once lived. You know, he was in the Oval Office here, and he was, you know, killed here. And this is also federal property, and it's also in a neighborhood. This monument in Boston was sort of in a downtown area that was it was more obvious to the public, where this sort of feels like it's in your backyard in terms of, you know, how residents might feel about it. Right. So I think that sort of can skew how people view it and how they understand the monument.
Gotcha. Is your hope of the play, the result would be to hopefully they would get it moved or moved to some museum? I mean, you still have the Lincoln Memorial down on the mall, you know, something less controversial, but...
Yeah, I think relocating it is a great idea. Whatever is done, and I do believe someday something will be done, I don't think it'll you know, be standing here forever, but... I think it needs to be recontextualized. It needs to be recontextualized for the public, and we need to sort of understand exactly what the intention was for the piece, beside the sort of broad stroke of this is a monument to celebrate Lincoln and, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation. I do think there needs to be sort of a deeper iconographic analysis of the monument. So putting it in a museum makes a lot of sense to me. There could also be sort of a reinvention of it where you add pieces around it. I don't know how that would be done, but I'm just brainstorming right now. I also wouldn't be mad if it was melted down. That's me personally.
Sure.
However, the play itself is really meant to be a spark for dialogue and conversation. It's really, you know, meant to bring people together, even if you're at opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of what you think should be done with this troubling object. More than anything else, I want people to have conversations about race, remembering history, and reconciliation. Those are the three main things that this play is about.
Awesome. And let's talk about it as a bit of a, you know, just as a dramatic work itself. We talked a lot of the context and the background and the history, but like, tell me a little more about Chance. Like, that's his name, the protagonist, right?
Yeah.
Where is he? Is he, you know, living in D.C.? What's his role?
He's in D.C. They live right here in Capitol Hill. And it's important to say that the piece is a comedy.
Okay.
And I thought that was pretty crucial to telling this story and holding it, because it's such a heavy topic, and I didn't want people to feel really like weighed down. I wanted to bring some levity to the storytelling experience. So I thought comedy was the perfect genre to sort of hold this story.
Awesome. And trying to remember back to when you first laid out the premise, but so you said he cuts off the head and it ends up in
It ends up in the bushes of his white liberal neighbor Adam's garden.
Okay.
And then Chance runs home to his wife, and then an absurdist chain of events happens from there. So I'm really investigating not only race, but like the construct of race and how we view race and how we understand, you know, whiteness and blackness and what all that means.
Awesome. And so it starts what? I guess tomorrow, right? The 7th, I think.
Yes, preview start the 7th tomorrow, and we run through October 1st.
Great. So I'm going to see if I can turn this around by tomorrow. That'd be kind of cool to run it the day it starts.
Yeah.
Cool. And yeah, I guess then just speak a little bit to Mosaic, you know, working with them and commissioning. I guess they commissioned the piece or...
Yes.
Well, actually, how we can tie it back into the last time you and I spoke with Dear Maple. Aren't you in... Is this still like the same residency?
This is still part of the residency, and this is actually my second installment of the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation residency. There's a national playwrights residency program that I'm a part of. So,
and Dear Maple was the first, and this is the second.
Dear Maple was, my first residency, which was 3 years, and this is the second one.
Okay.
So, and as part of the residency, the theater that I'm in residence at, which is Mosaic, they agreed to produce at least one of my plays. So this is the play that they're producing for this round.
Great. And anything you want to say about working with the folks at Mosaic?
Oh, it's great. I mean, such a collaborative and inspired team. I mean, we're in the thick of rehearsals now. I mean, we start shows tomorrow. We start our previews tomorrow. But there's still tweaks and changes that we're making to just make sure that we're giving people the best experience possible.
And brag on your director a little bit, Reggie Douglas.
Oh,
I've interviewed him many times
great.
Too.
Yeah,
but yeah,
he's great, man. So he's really a deft director, particularly when it comes to comedy. Really has a good eye for all things directorial, whether it's just costume design and lighting design and scenic design. I mean, the director has to hold all of these things in their mind simultaneously, and it's a new play, so he's a great new play director. Also, he has a great dramaturgical mind, so he's really an ideal person to be directing this world premiere production.
I love it. And who's playing Chase? Or Chance?
Chance,
who's the actor?
Lewis Davis, a local-based actor. And then Brenda, his wife, is played by Renee Elizabeth Wilson. And then Jonathan Foyer plays the neighbor.
The white liberal neighbor.
And these actors are just acting their face off, man. They are doing a really awesome job. So I can't wait for audiences to really see the work that, this whole team is doing.
Awesome. And I guess sort of final seconds, remind us a little bit about yourself. I know you said you went to Howard, but how about, where exactly did you grow up before that?
Yeah.
How'd you get into, arts?
Yeah. I'm from Park Slope, Brooklyn. And then came down to D.C. after I graduated from high school. And, in terms of arts, I was doing the school plays in elementary school, junior high school. And then after high school, I sort of took it more seriously and sort of focused in on really acting. Mm-hmm. Started out as an actor. And then I was really, not happy with the roles that were available for black men. So that's really when I turned to writing. And that's actually connected to why this object for me, why this monument is troubling, because my whole vision in terms of, art is creating, elevating representations of black folks. So this piece represents the exact type of representations that my art aims to dismantle.
I love it. We'll leave it there. I think I have plenty to work with. So
cool.
Thanks for joining us
again,
look forward to maybe we'll catch up on the next one. How many more are there supposed to? I know this hadn't even started yet, but don't look too far. But just in ballpark, is it like 3 years, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one more maybe?
Hopefully. I mean, I'm working on Marion Barry musical right now.
Okay.
So we'll see. We'll see. Keep your eyes, peeled for that.
All right. But check out Monumental Travesties first, and then we'll maybe circle back once the Marion Barry musical. I can't wait.
That's right.
All right. We'll definitely follow up on that. Cool. Thanks for doing this, man.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.